Abraham, a relationship with God that grew to produce faith and obedience. The more I've meditated on this, the more I believe that the only way Genesis chapter 22 happened the way it happened is because of an ongoing relationship that Abraham had with God and the faith that was growing in him. Let's pray together. Lord in heaven, we thank you so much today for your word and the gift that it is to us. Lord, that we get to learn about you. We get to learn about your love for us and your dealings with mankind. Lord, I just think of this man named Abraham. We know so much of his life. We know about how you called him and led him and worked in his heart and made him promises and fulfilled those promises and on and on and on, so many things. God, we pray together today that you would teach us from Abraham's life. Lord, we pray together today that you would change us in amazing ways by your Spirit, by your word. Have your way in our hearts today, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So start with me in verse 1. We're just going to have a peek at chapter 22 and then talk about where we're headed. It says, "Now it came about after these things that God tested Abraham." All right, you can stop right there. God tested Abraham. Now, I don't know how often this happens, but I think some people, probably a lot of people, they would ask the question, why does God do that? Why is God always testing us? Why is God always testing me? What does he want from me? I think this applies to everything we're going to talk about today. You have to understand, God does not tempt anyone. The Bible specifically says God can't be tempted with evil, and he doesn't tempt anyone. God tests us because he loves us more than we will ever know. And I love how that song we were singing this morning, "He's Resurrecting Me," I like how that puts it. You know, of course, one day he's going to make your body come out of the grave if you have already died before he returns. And so he will resurrect you. But in another sense, he's working in our hearts, changing us, making us more like him. And so God tests us because he loves us just that much. God tests you because he wants to bless you and me. He wants to make our lives something amazing, something that we will be excited about, something that we will enjoy. And without him, we're never going to get there. As a matter of fact, without him, we're going to be in a lot of trouble. I'm always kidding, but a lot of times, you know, Kathy has this friend in the neighborhood named Susan, and they'll go out to shopping or whatever together. And so when they're walking out the door, I'll say, "Now you two stay out of trouble." And of course, I'm kidding. But really, the truth is, we have a tendency to get into trouble. Every single one of us. And left to ourselves, we'd be in so much trouble. We so desperately need God in our lives, and we need this thing in our lives that he wants to do in us. So God tested Abraham and Abraham's faith because he wanted it to grow. He wanted to bless him. It reminds me so much of something I experienced with a niece of mine. When I was still in high school, teenager, my sister came home. She had some trouble in her marriage, and so she came back to live with us on the farm, and she brought with her her little girl. Her name was Tanya, is Tanya, and she was about yay tall, just sweetest little thing. And Tanya and I started this friendship. You know, I just fell in love with this little girl, and so we started this friendship with one another because we were living in the same house. Right? A little bit like the friendship that each of us, every one of us, begins with God. Right? We find out he loved us, that he wants us to be his very own. And so we enter into this friendship with God. And so I had this beginning friendship with my niece, Tanya. And so I had a lot of chores. I'd come home from school and I had to go down to the farm, to the barn to work. And so I'd say, hey, Tanya, you know, you want to come help me feed the cows? And she'd be like, oh, yeah, yeah, let's do it. And so we head down to the barn and we've got this barn with cattle on both sides and this giant area in the middle where we load all the hay. And so I lift her up to where she can grab onto something. We climb up in the hayloft and we break open the bales of hay and chuck down the sections of hay down into the trough below, or we might roll silage in there. We're doing all these things together, just enjoying being together. Well, somewhere along the line, we started this game. So I would climb down first because she was too small. She couldn't get out of the thing, and we didn't have ladders in there. There wasn't room for one. So I would climb down. I would stretch up my hands and get her under the arms and set her down. Well, one day, I go, hey, Tanya, jump. And she goes, it's too far. And so, you know, I stretch my hands up until they're about this far away from her, and she jumps into my hands. And so this becomes our game. Every day, we're down there, we're feeding the cows, and every day, I get a little bit further away. And if I've gotten too far, she's like, and so, you know, I get a little closer. But I get further and further and further away. And I'm not messing around. I'm loving this relationship. I never drop her. And I, you know, when I catch her, it's not like this jolt. You know, I catch her like this so I can swing her around and absorb all of the impact. But by the time we're done, I'm standing way away from this girl. And she is launching herself into midair over top of cow poop, trusting me to catch her, swing her around, and gently set her on the ground. And that has become such a picture to me of faith, that this is what God is working on with us. He's like, hey, Sam, jump. I'm like, it's too far. And so he patiently gets a little bit closer, and he continues working in my life until I can jump further, until I can trust him more easily, more consistently, and in more difficult circumstances. So the story that we're reading this morning is not just out of the blue, God coming to someone who doesn't know him and saying, Abraham, I want you to do this. This is an ongoing thing. You know about Abraham's relationship with God. Remember, before this, it's 35 or more years ago, God came to Abraham and said, hey, I want you to leave your country, go to this land I want to show you. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. I'm going to make you a great nation, and I'm going to give you all this land. And so Abraham goes, hey, sounds pretty good. And so he goes, and he starts worshiping God. He starts traveling around. He starts trusting God. He makes some huge mistakes, but the relationship continues to develop. God's promised him a son. Doesn't have a son for 25 years. He and his wife make some mistakes there about how they end up with a son. But eventually, that promise is fulfilled. So you can just see Abraham's faith growing as he goes through the journey. And so here we come to chapter 22. And God comes and appears to Abraham again and says, it says, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham? And he said, here I am. He said, take now your son, your only son whom you love. Now listen, Isaac isn't his only son, but he's his only son through Sarah. And he's the only son that God has promised to him for 25 years, through whom he's going to create this enormous nation. So in that sense, take now your son, your only son. So Abraham's poured everything he's got into this young man, loves him dearly. And God acknowledges that. Your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I will tell you. Now, I can't imagine how that hit Abraham. having children of my own. Can't imagine the night that he spent. I doubt he slept. I mean, it does say that he rose early in the morning, but I'm not sure he was asleep, because it would have been a rough journey. So Abraham rose, verse 3, early in the morning, and saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son. He split wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham raised his eyes and saw the place from a distance. It was a journey getting to Mount Moriah. They'd been traveling for 3 days. Abraham said to his young men, "Stay here with the donkey, and I and the lad will go over there, and we will worship and return to you." Interesting statement here, isn't it? Abraham says, "We will worship and return to you." Fascinating. Verse 6, Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. He took in his hand the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked together. What a picture. Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." He said, "Here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, I've often wondered where these words came from. Maybe from God. Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." So the two of them walked on together. Excuse me, having trouble seeing the words now. You know, I wonder if this is almost like God did this as a picture of what he one day would do himself, as he gave his very own son to go to a cross and be sacrificed for every single one of us. Of course, that's what Jesus did for us. So it's almost like a prophetic statement. God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering. You know, prophecy often has two meanings. It's like somehow God is saying to Abraham, "Listen, I'm going to provide for this sacrifice. And maybe in the future, I'm going to provide a sacrifice for all mankind." So verse 9, "Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood and bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son." I'm of the opinion he didn't get very far. Didn't have that knife in his hand very long before the next statement. "But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham, here I am.' He said, 'Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by the horns, his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'In the mount of the Lord it will be provided.'" So Abraham's faith had gotten pretty strong. We'll read more about that in just a second. We're going to read some from Hebrews chapter 11, where the writer of Hebrews talks about this specific event. But look at verse 15 with me. "The angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, indeed, I will greatly bless you, and I will greatly multiply your seed as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed because you have obeyed my voice." Why such emphatic, glowing language here? By myself I have sworn, God speaking, by myself I have sworn, declares the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, I'm going to greatly bless you. I'm going to greatly multiply your seed. Wow. Abraham got to hear God's voice not once when he said, I want you to go make the sacrifice. Abraham got to hear God's voice actually three times. A second time when he intervened and said, no, don't do it. Don't lift up your hand against your son. And the third time when God said to him, by myself I have sworn, and he's just, it's like this glowing language about what God's going to do in Abraham's life. Listen, I want to hear God's voice a lot. I don't know if you remember or not, but this is actually how we started 2019. The question for the morning was, if you could do one thing this year, what would you do? And I was just telling you, hey, this is the one thing I want to do. I want to hear God's voice, and I want to do what he says. You know how many people don't ever get to hear God's voice? You know, they're too busy. You know, they're not listening. The sound of his voice is drowned out by all of the junk that's in the world. You know, I want that to be our goal again this year. That we will hear God's voice and that we will do what he says and make that the habit of our life. And I just love this picture because this is what's happened in Abraham's life. It's just so obvious. That's why he's able to approach this day. If you know his story, there's some things in Abraham's history where he didn't trust God. He made some big mistakes, very hard on his wife, but he had grown a lot. So to get a little bit of that picture, a little bit more of that picture, I mean, this was pretty big, but turn to Hebrews 11 with me. Hebrews 11, verse 17 is describing what we just read together. Verse 17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises, that is Abraham, he's the one who had received the promises, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to make you a great nation. He who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. That statement there in verse 18 is a quote from the Old Testament. God had said to him, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. This is the promised son. This is how you're going to become a great nation. And so when Abraham gets the command to go and offer his son as a sacrifice, evidently this is his conclusion in the very next verse. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. As a type, that literally could be translated in a parable. It's like he got his son back, so to speak, even though his son never really died. But he got his son back because God chose to change the commandment and to do it a different way. And as a type, I think it was a picture of what the Lord Jesus would do for us. But Abraham, according to these verses, had come to the place in his life where he'd been through so much and such a journey of faith with God that he believed, well, this is the promised son for whom I waited 25 years. This is the son that God's going to turn into a great nation. So if God wants me to do this, God's going to raise him from the dead. So what should we be afraid of? What should I be afraid of? I should never be afraid of anything. Now, as you know, I'm on a journey there. But we should never be afraid of anything. And for us to hear God's voice this year and grow in our faith and become a very different people, I believe, even than we are right now. You know, I know that many of you have been Christians for a long time. You've been growing in your faith. Some of you have more recently become Christians. But every single one of us, I believe, should be very different people by the time we get to the end of 2020. Not because of a New Year's resolution, but because God's in our lives. because he's going to tap you on the shoulder and he's going to say, "Hey, Kathy, jump. Hey, Jenny, jump." I think he's going to say that to me. And our response will determine how much we grow. When we had our kids at home and we were trying to teach them obedience, we told them three things. We said, "Now listen, this is how you obey. And if you don't do these three things, you're not really obeying. So you should obey quickly. You should obey completely. And you should obey joyfully." You know, I loved the story. I used to hear the story all the time about a dad driving down the road in a pickup truck with his little son. And they're just having a great time. And the little son stands up on the seat. And his dad says, "Son, sit down." You know, he's afraid he's going to have to put on the brakes and the son's going to smash into the dash or the windshield. And his son just stands there. He's having too much fun. He don't want to sit down. "Son, sit down." Still won't sit down. So dad reaches over and goes, you know, legs out from under him. So he's boom. And the little boy folds his arms. He says, "Well, I might be sitting down on outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." So, you know, we shouldn't be standing up on the inside, right? If we want to grow, we need to embrace this thing called obedience and this thing called walking in the Spirit. You know, what we just described as far as getting to hear God's voice and then obeying it, that's what walking in the Spirit is. You know, those aren't magical words. It's just an everyday thing. You know, "Hey, Sam, you know, let's spend some time together today." And so as I go do that, I'm walking in the Spirit. "Hey, Sam, why don't you talk about this friend and tell him you love me?" And if I do that, I'm walking in the Spirit and I'm growing in my relationship with God. And, you know, it's not only fun for us, it's fun for God. You know, I think so often about my little niece, now a grown woman, children of her own who are about to graduate high school. But boy, we had fun. And God wants to do that with every one of us. Please pray together with me. Lord, we're just excited for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. And Lord, we're excited that right now we get to celebrate the incredible thing that you did for us to provide for our salvation. Lord, as Jay comes and shares with us right now and leads us through this time, I just pray, God, that you will bless him, Lord. Fill him with your Spirit. And Lord, bless each and every one of us. Lord, draw us into a greater realization today of the sacrifice you made on that cross. And Lord, I pray that this would be a launching point for us on a journey of faith in 2020. A relationship with you in 2020 that excites us, delights us, changes us. Lord, we ask you for your miracles and wonders in our lives this year. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.